So as I said earlier, Merry Christmas. And as Christmas is approaching, what is also approaching then is the new year. And so it seems like just yesterday, it was like February of 2024. There's something about getting older and time flying by a whole lot faster, because I remember when I was in like high school, it'd still be May, like at this point in my mind. 2025 is quickly approaching, and so I figured I'd reflect over my life with you guys about all the things that have happened in 2024. And my 2024 has been filled with a lot of good, and then there's also been a few valleys or pits that I've kind of fallen into, and so we'll get to that in just a second. So some good things that happened was I have like entered into a new season here at the church, a totally new role at the church that I'm super thankful for, and I'm super excited about the calling that God has placed on my life and growing in that. And that's a great thing that's happened. That is a really good thing that's happened. In 2024, I started dating a girl, I got engaged to a girl, and I got married to a girl all in the same year. It's about as close to a shotgun wedding as you can get. And the rumors are true, I did drop the ring at the wedding, okay? I absolutely did drop the ring. And that's not even my favorite memory from the wedding, to be honest. My favorite memory was getting to marry Mercy. But beside that, my favorite memory was after the wedding was over and we were in the reception, I was just going around, sitting down and talking to people. And so I decided to go thank Chris and Jimmy and Patsy for being there at the wedding. And so Chris then looks over after I say thank you to them, and Chris says, "Hey, Patsy, how do you feel about AJ and Mercy getting married?" And Patsy turns to her and says, "It's terrible, it's terrible." Sorry, Patsy, you can't have all the men at the church, all right? It was such a good memory. And so, I entered into a new role here at the church. I got married, and finally, I have finally graduated from college. And so, thank you. It's all by the grace of God, because I should have been graduated like 4 years ago. And so I did the 8-year plan. Some of you guys are with me on that. I should have been graduated quite a while ago, but I finally made it across the finish line in that season of life. And then there are some bad things that happened in my year, though. As many of you guys know, I started the year missing one of my front teeth. Additionally, I broke my leg in half jumping on a trampoline, basically. And because of that, I ended up gaining like 30 pounds. And this became very real to me when I tried to button my suit coat earlier today, and I can't reach. Like, if I were to button this, it would be like a hazard for some of y'all in the front row, because this thing might pop off and kill one of y'all. I mean, it is super tight. And then, just with the medical bills and all that stuff, I have faced some financial blows, and I'm so thankful for the provision of the Lord on my life. And, the Lord always provides a way and makes a way. And all that to say, it was just one of those years where it was kind of like I had to encourage myself with my favorite non-Bible verse, which is, "The Lord gives his toughest battles to his toughest soldiers." And so I'm just sitting there and I'm like, my eyes twitching. I'm like, "What's next, Lord?" Kind of thing, because it's just been one of those types of years. And maybe you're like me, where you've had an up and a down year. Things have been going side to side, and it's just kind of been unsettling. And I'm sure that some of you guys can relate to that. And this got me to thinking kind of this thought, which is, why in the world are some of my areas in life not going super well? Like, why in the world are some areas of my life going poorly? Why are some areas of my life going really, really bad? Maybe you've had some thoughts like this. Why am I struggling with my finances? Why can't I catch up? Why do these bills keep stacking up? Why do these things keep happening in my finances? Or maybe you thought this: why is my relationship falling apart right now? Why am I constantly arguing with my spouse or my significant other? Why isn't our relationship healthy? Why isn't it like it used to be? Or maybe you thought, why am I not successful when it comes to leading my family, when it comes to leading my kids? Or why do I keep giving in to the same sin over and over and over again? I've had these thoughts, and I'm sure that many of you guys have had these thoughts come to your mind, at one point or another, even within the last few months. And so sometimes the answer to why things are bad is just because things go bad sometimes. Sometimes, we just run into trouble. You can be doing everything right. You can be doing all the right things. And what happens? Trouble comes. That's why Jesus says in John 16:33 that in the world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble in this world. You can have a health crisis rise up out of nowhere. You could be doing everything right, eating healthy. You can be exercising daily, and all of a sudden, a health crisis comes. That's trouble that comes that's out of your control. You can be driving down the road, and your car is in perfectly good condition, and somebody runs into you, and all of a sudden, trouble has entered the picture. And Jesus wasn't lying when he said trouble's gonna come. We all face trouble sometimes that is out of our control. But what I want to focus on tonight is not the trouble that is out of our control, but I want to focus on trouble that we often cause ourselves. Because I don't know about you guys, but I can cause a whole lot of trouble for my own life if I'm up for it. And so has anyone in here ever made a stupid decision before? Yes, okay, that's everybody. Thank you guys for joining me in stupid decisions because, man, I am stupid a lot of times. And so I just sometimes... I'm AJ, and that's really what it is. Speaking of, when I dropped the ring, some people at the wedding were like, is that like a bad sign or a bad omen? I'm like, no, that's just AJ Gersh. It's who I am. It's what I do. Like, it's you know, that's just what happened. And so that was totally a side note. But we all make stupid decisions, and a lot of us, you know, the trouble and the hard parts of life come as a result of the decisions that we make. And so a lot of us, you know, sometimes we'll say, oh, the devil's after me. No, you're just after yourself, man. Like it's just you a lot of times, and it's just me. And so the goal that I have for us tonight is to help us to stop making dumb decisions by encouraging us to do one very, very important thing. And it's something that we as believers, it's something that we are all called to do whenever it comes to our life. And that decision is that we are to submit to God. We are to submit to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, submit. There you go. Yes. So now, what do I mean when I say that we should submit to God? What I mean is that we should be obedient to the Lord. We should be obedient to the Lord. And not just obedient, but that we need to put ourselves under the lordship of God and under the lordship of Christ. It means to arrange oneself under the command of a divine viewpoint rather than living according to one's old way of life based upon a human viewpoint. In other words, what am I saying? We're no longer going to live to the ways of the world that we got to know. We're instead going to live by the way of God. We're going to submit to the way that the Lord has put before us. It's a process of surrendering our own will to that of the Father's, to that of Jesus's, to that of what this book says right here. And so that's what we are submitting to. Now, I have to address an elephant in the room because the word submit has been kind of turned into a dirty word in our culture. And a lot of us, when we hear submit, we instantly hit the off button on our brains because we've had bad experiences with submission in some way. Maybe you had a boss who was not worthy of submitting to because they, or not necessarily not worthy, but they didn't treat you well whenever you were trying to be the best employee that you can be. Or there was some situation that made you have a dislike for that term submitting. And, you know, the thing that we need to remember is this. People are imperfect. People are going to mess up. People are not going to treat you well all the time. But what we have to remember is that God is perfect. God is perfect in all of his ways. And submitting to him is one of the best things that we can do as believers. So we have to be careful not to let the experiences we have with other imperfect humans influence the way that we view submission to our good and our perfect God. Additionally, our culture is going to try to say that submission is wrong. Like you need to catch up with the times if you think that submission is a good thing that we should do. And so don't let culture cloud the way that the Bible says that we should submit. And so that's all to preface this. I want to help us figure out how we should submit and how we can submit to the Lord. Because here's the deal. Submission is not just this like easy thing that we, you know, kind of accidentally fall into. Submission is a decision that we all actively have to make. And there are certain things that are going to help us submit easier to the Lord if we choose to do it, submit easier to God if we decide to do two certain things. And then there's one big result that I want us to cover. And so If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and then you can put a marker in James chapter 4. And these are the two different passages that we're going to be looking at when it comes to submission tonight. And I think that these two things reveal two key parts to what it means to submit as a believer in Christ, and what happens when we do submit to them. And so we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 5, where it says this. Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." So what's the first key to submission? What's the first thing that submission requires of us? Submission requires us to trust. Submission requires us to trust. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Here's the deal. It's really hard to submit to somebody that you don't trust. It's really hard to come under somebody's authority when you don't trust them. And so trust is essential whenever it comes to submitting. That's why I'm so thankful that I have the bosses here that I do at Grace Church. Whenever it comes to Pastor Mark, I know that I can submit to him fully and wholly because I trust him. He's got my best interests in mind, and more importantly than that, he has the Lord's best interests in mind, the church's best interests in mind. So what happens when he tells me to do something? Yes, sir. I'm gonna go and do it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Whenever Pastor Jonathan or Pastor Matt tell me to do something, guess what? I can trust them. And because I can trust them, it makes it easier for me to submit and come under their authority and go and do the very thing that they've asked me to do, because I know that they care about me, they care about the Lord, and they care about the church. And so I'm gonna do what they've asked me to do. And so we need to trust in God whenever it comes to submission. The Hebrew word for trust here means to like lie down or to put your entire weight on something. And so think about when you go to sleep at night. When you go to sleep, you lie down in your bed and you fall asleep. And the reason why you lie down in your bed and you fall asleep at night is because you trust your bed. It's not going to fall through, you know. Nothing's going to happen, hopefully, if you have a good bed. And so you trust your bed, and so you go to sleep. You put all of your weight on it. Now, in the same way that we can, as silly as this illustration is, just stay on track with me. In the same way that we can trust our bed to hold our entire weight when we sleep, we can trust God even more with the cares and the affections, with everything that we have in our life. We can trust God even more than we can trust a silly bed that is material and that's been made by somebody else's hand. So we can trust in God. You can put your full trust in the Lord. And that's why it says, that's why the verse, goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. With all of your heart. It doesn't say with half your heart. It doesn't say with 3/4 of your heart. It doesn't say with 99% of your heart. It says trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You can trust the Lord with anything and everything in your life. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust that when you tithe, God is going to bless you for tithing. And you can give cheerfully and joyfully because the Lord says you can. And there's going to be an outpouring of blessing on your finances when you do. You can trust God with your relationships. You can trust God with your work, with your occupation, with your purpose. You can trust God with your family. You can trust God. You can trust him. And that's why it goes on to say this. We should not lean on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding is always going to lead to you being let down. Because I've tried leaning on my own understanding before. I've tried leaning on my old ways of life apart from God. And what happens is I always end up flat on my face looking like a big old idiot. And so we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. Isaiah 26 verse 4 says this. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Amen. There is nothing else in this world that should have all of our trust like the Lord does. Your spouse should not have the same trust that you put in the Lord. As crazy as that sounds, our trust needs to be greater in the Lord, trusting and going to him for all our fulfillment, rather than a spouse, rather than your work, rather than finances. Our trust is not in those things. Our trust is in the Lord. And when our trust is in the Lord, you will never ever be let down, because God is faithful to show up when our trust is completely and wholly in him. That's why it says, trust in the Lord forever. The Lord himself is the rock eternal. The rock eternal. He's never going to change. He's never going to go anywhere. You can always put your faith and your trust in him. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. in all of your ways, submit to him. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So what does it start with? It starts with trust in the Lord, and then once you've trusted in the Lord and you've left your old understanding, your old way of life, then you can begin to submit to him. And what's going to happen is he is going to begin to make your path straight. Now, the New King James Version says, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And so whenever it says submit in all your ways or acknowledge in all your ways, it means in all of your ways. It means that you should acknowledge him whenever it comes to your time and money. It means that you should fully submit your time and money over to the Lordship of Christ. I remember whenever I was driving home from a conference one time, I just was listening to worship music, and I was really enjoying time in the presence of the Lord, and I just felt in my spirit, it wasn't like this was this audible voice from the Lord, but I just felt in my spirit like the Lord was telling me, you need to delete Madden. Now, for the which is a game, by the way, it's a football game on my PlayStation, and so for a time, I was like playing in like tournaments and stuff online, and like I was very invested in this game, and I just felt in the spirit, like he said, you need to delete Madden. And so I was just like, okay, Lord, whatever you say. And that was very hard to go into my game and press the delete button on that game. But what he was trying to do was he was trying to get me to submit my time and my money because I was buying stupid stuff on Madden Ultimate Team on this game. And so I was wasting finances, I was wasting time, and he was trying to get me to submit and come back to him so I could spend more time with him, spend more time on things that were going to have an eternal impact. We need to submit our energy to him. What does this mean? This means that some of us, we need to say, Lord, how can I submit my energy to you? And some of you guys, he's going to say, you need to start serving in church. You need to start getting involved in the work of the ministry and doing the things that I want you to do so that you can not just, you know, receive, but so that way you can give to those around you and other people can be blessed because of what you're doing. You need to submit your family over to him and trust him with your family. You need to say, God, you know, I can't do this on my own. I trust in you. I trust you with my family. And you need to let him take control of that. What am I trying to say? We need to submit our whole life over to the Lord. Our whole life needs to be submitted to the Lord. You can trust the Lord with your whole life. Now, when we intentionally choose to submit to him in these areas, he's going to bless our decision to submit those areas to him. And like I said earlier, submitting doesn't happen by accident. It's not just something that we happen into. It's not just something that we fall into. It's something that we have to intentionally act on every single day of our lives. And in areas where there's been little success or fruit because you hadn't submitted to him, there's now going to be a greater level of fruit. There's now going to be a greater level of success. Where maybe there was loss in the past, there's now going to be victory because you are now submitting to the Lord. You're submitting those areas of your life to him. Over the last few months, you know, I've just been, I had gotten engaged, and all of a sudden the enemy started attacking me with these thoughts of like, you know, you're not going to be a good husband. You're going to let Mercy down. You're going to do things that really upset her, and she's going to be super upset with you. And I began to let fear and anxiety and worry come in, and it was something that I was dealing with very, very internally. And then as I was reading through the Bible, I was reminded that if I just choose to trust in the Lord when it comes to my marriage, yes, and I submit to him and his ways and the things that the Bible say about marriage, I have nothing to worry about. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will never let us down. If we do our part, he is faithful to do his part and more. Like, that's the way God is. And so I just had to put that into the Lord's hands and say, God, I trust you with our marriage. And Lord, help me to do everything that you have called me to do. Help me to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Help me to lead my family well, Lord God. And so I just began to pray that and believe that. And all of a sudden, the fear and the anxiety that was kind of tormenting me for about a month and a half began to leave my heart. And began to leave my mind because I knew that if I just trust in the Lord and I submit that area to him, everything's going to be fine. Sure. We may face trouble. We may face some tribulation, but we're overcomers because Christ Jesus died for us and rose again. And if death was overcome, we're certainly going to overcome a little bit of trouble in our life. So we make it easier to submit to the Lord by trusting in the one who never fails us, who's never failed us, and never will fail us. Right. So we trust in God. The second thing that we need as believers in order to submit is humility. We need humility. Another thing that is kind of, going by the wayside in our culture today. James 4, we're going to go to now, and James 4, 6 through 7 says this: "But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, 'God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.' Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, when we see that word opposed there, God opposes the proud, a lot of us are like, that's really strong language. Are you sure, AJ? Yep, that's what it says. He opposes the proud. That's strong language, but that's the Holy Spirit writing that strong language in there. But he shows favor to the humble. He shows favor to the humble. And here's the deal. We cannot submit to God unless we're humble. We can't submit to God unless we're humble. The opposite of humility is pride, and as the verse says, God opposes those who are proud. And now, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you struggle with pride in here, many of you guys probably wouldn't raise your hand. But I want to clarify something for us tonight. And the clarification is this. It's that anytime you are not humbly submitting an area of your life over to the Lord, whether it's finances, family, work, anything like that, you are actively operating in pride. When you are not humbly submitting any area of your life over to the Lord, basically what you're saying is, Lord, I got this. Lord, I don't need your help in this area. I don't got to pray about it. I got this right here. And so if we're not humbly submitting certain areas of life to the Lord, we are operating in pride because we think that we can do certain things. We can have success in certain areas. We can have fruit in some areas apart from God. But I can't do anything good apart from God. Right. I can't do anything good apart from God. And so we need to be humble if we want to submit to the Lord. We cannot allow pride to come in because pride causes God to have an opposition towards us. Now, pride additionally is an open door for the enemy to come in and absolutely wreck your life. Because here's the deal. When the enemy sees somebody with pride, they see somebody who doesn't need God. And if they don't need God, the Lord's not there to oppose him in that person. And I think that we can kind of get a little bit funny about, the devil sometimes. Like, sometimes people are like, well, the devil's not even real. And they're wrong. He absolutely is real. But then we get, we also get kind of funny about, if there's something slightly wrong, it was a demon. It was an attack of the enemy. Like, recently, I do the yard here a lot, and let me tell y'all, we have had some issues with the riding mower recently, okay? Like, it has been breaking down left and right, and it's just like a deal that has been going through, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this mower has got to be possessed by a demon one day, and I'm sitting there, where is it? I'm like one more breakdown away from going out there, putting anointing oil on it, and speaking in tongues over it, and casting the demon out of it, because I'm so tired of this thing breaking down. And, my inclination is to say, it's Satan. And pastor's like, my inclination is to say, Satan's got his hands all over it. And pastor's more like, no, AJ, you just have your hands all over it, and that's why it keeps breaking down, which could be partially true. But I'd get so frustrated. I'd be out there kicking the wheel on it. Like, can you just work for me, please? And so we kind of get funny about the enemy sometimes. But what we need to know is that he is a real enemy, but he's not more powerful than Christ. Not even close. And so when we submit to God, the enemy has no choice but to flee. You actively submitting to the Lord is your resisting of the devil. You're actively submitting to what Christ says about what you should do is actively resisting what the enemy is trying to do in your life. And so when we submit to the Lord, we are actively choosing to resist the enemy, but we cannot do this without humility. Now, James 4, verses 8 through 9 goes on to say this: "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom." Now, what is this saying here? What can we pull from this passage? It says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And what I want to say here is that our affections and our actions need to be brought into alignment with God's authority. And whenever it goes on in verse 9 to say, grieve, mourn, and wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom, this is talking about sin in our lives. And so one of the sure signs that we are not bringing our lives into alignment with God's rule and God's reign is when we have sin in our life without concern, without care, or without any conviction that's present in our hearts. And so this is one of the surefire signs that we're not bringing our lives into alignment with God's rule. Here's the deal. Whenever we sin, we shouldn't just laugh it off like it's no big deal. Yes, are we forgiven? Absolutely, 100%. But when we sin, there should be a mourning that happens. And from that mourning, there should be some repentance that occurs in our lives where we are so deeply distraught by our sin and so deeply distraught by, not just sinning against ourselves, but when we sin, we're sinning against God. We are not submitting to his lordship whenever we sin. We need to feel deeply troubled by that and say, God, help me to love you more. Because he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. In his word. Help me to love you more. Help me to submit to your lordship whenever it comes to sin. And so here's the deal. Whenever we sin, we need to try to bring ourselves back into submission for what the Lord says about the certain sin that we're struggling with. And then James 4:10, the end of the passage, goes on to say this. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So this passage started with humility, and it ended with humility. And in the middle was submission. And so we have to be sure that we are humble. Now, there's this story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus is telling this parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And it's not going to be up on the screen, but I do want to read it to you guys tonight because it is a beautiful example of what it looks like to have humility. It's a beautiful example of what it looks like to be humble. And so it says this. He also told this parable. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven. But kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. And this is talking about salvation here in this parable. The Pharisee believed that he could get salvation on his own. The Pharisee believed that it was by his works that he had salvation. Meanwhile, the tax collector couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven because he knew that he was so unrighteous, because he knew in his own ability, he was not able to get salvation. And so we shouldn't just trust in the Lord when it comes to our salvation, though. We can't just compartmentalize our life and say, okay, you know, God is for Sundays, and then leave God at church on Sunday. And then go off and, you know, do your life on your own on Monday and Tuesday. And then, you know, church is on Wednesday, and so God is on Wednesday. And then you compartmentalize your life when you go to school or you go to work or you go home or you deal with your money. God does not want to be compartmentalized away from all those things. God wants to be involved in all of those things. God wants you to willfully submit all of those areas to your life because he knows that if you just submit it to him and his plan, he has a good plan for you. And he's going to bless you in all of those areas when you submit to him in those areas of your life. And so God desires to be in those areas. God wants you to submit in those areas so that he can open the windows of heaven on you and bless you. Life is so much better when we submit to him. And this is why humility is required. Because the Pharisee believed that he could do it himself. And if you believe that you can do it yourself, what's the need for going to God? If you believe that you can handle your finances perfectly and honor the Lord with your finances apart from God, well, that's pride. If you believe that you can lead your family well apart from the direction and the leading and what the Bible says, that's pride within you, keeping you from entering into all that God has for your family. And so we need to submit and be humble, be humble and submit to him in all of these areas. Colossians 3:12 says this. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So he says, clothe yourself. That's what Paul says. And so again, humility is not just something that we accidentally fall into. It's something that we actively have to put on. It's something that we actively have to choose to say, I am nothing apart from the Lord. I am nothing apart from the Lord. I can do no good work apart from God. And so you have to wake up every day and choose to clothe yourself in humility. You got to put it on like it's your clothes. And it's not some fake, oh, I'm humble type thing. No, it's an actual understanding and realization that I literally, I can't do anything apart from God. I can't do a single thing that is good or worth any fruit apart from God. I can't, you can't, we can't, the church can't. And so we have to be people who humble ourselves. We have to be people who humble ourselves and turn to God and say, God, I need you. God, I need you in my finances. I can't do it alone. God, I need you in my relationships. I can't do it alone. God, I need you at work. I can't do it in my own ability. We have to choose to put on humility each and every day of our lives. So the two key ingredients to submitting to God are trust and humility. You put your trust in him, and once you trust in him, you submit to him, and then humbly you submit everything to him. And then, because there's two keys, there is one result, and that's blessing. Submitting to God is, a lot of us, we think that it takes our freedom away, but it's not freedom that he takes away, it's blessing that he begins to give to us. It's blessing that he begins to pour out on us. Whenever we submit it to him and what it says in his word, you can't just make up what God wants you to submit to. Obviously, there are going to be certain things that, you know, the Lord speaks to you, and certain ways that he wants to lead your family that might be different from someone else, or certain ways that he might want you to handle your family that might be different from something else. But everything is based upon this word right here. And if you open this up, what you're going to find is you're going to find that you can submit to every word that's in here. Every promise that's made, he's faithful to fulfill. Everything that he said is for the benefit of your life, to make you a better follower of Christ, to make you a more effective witness, to make you more close to him. And so we have to have trust and humility, and when we do that and we submit to him, we can know that we have blessing. By the way, submitting is not something that we should do begrudgingly. Submitting should be done cheerfully and joyfully. I get to submit to God. Like, that is awesome. That is something that is amazing, that I get to actively choose to submit to God. I actively get to do the things that he has told me to do. I actively get to walk in his will and walk in the way that he has set before me. And when I do that, I get to do it joyfully and cheerfully, and I get to do it with a heart that is glad, because I know that I'm getting closer to the Lord while I'm doing it. And so are you guys if you choose to submit to him. We submit to him. And so the way I want to close tonight is by praying over us, that we would be a church that submits to him, that we would be a family that actively chooses to put on humility, trust in God, and submit all of our ways to him, every single way.